Welcome to the Spoolcast. Dan Saffer joins Jared Spool in a discussion about micro moments. Dan will be presenting one of the day-long workshops at the User Interface 18 conference October 21st through 23rd in Boston. For more information, visit uiconf.com. That's uiconf.com. And now, here's Jared.
Hello there. Thanks for joining us again on the Spoolcast. Today is going to be a fabulous day. You've chosen the right podcast to listen to today because we have with us Mr. Dan Saffer, who is one of the brilliant designers over at Smart Design, and he just came out with a fabulous new book called Micro Interactions. And we're going to talk about micro interactions today. And he's also teaching a workshop at the User Interface 18 conference, which is going to be October 21st to 23rd in Boston. And he's speaking on the 23rd, a full day of designing micro interactions. I'm very excited about the workshop and the new book and talking to Dan today. Hi, Dan.
Hello, Jared. Glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us. This is just so awesome. So, what is this micro interactions thing that you speak of here?
What is micro interactions? Well, micro interactions are the small pieces of functionality that exist around or sometimes in place of larger features. So the example that I give and I start the book off with is turning the ringer off on your phone. Like, nobody is buying your phone because you can turn the ringer off. But it's still this little important piece of functionality that, if it's not there, can cause a lot of problems. And people, if they're struggling to find it, will return the phone. So there are all these little pieces of things that can be really important to the overall user experience of your product.
It's an interesting thing, that ringer off button, because I remember having generations of phones that didn't have that. And so you would discover in the middle of a movie that you hadn't turned off your ringer and, you know, have to dig the phone out and struggle and find the software menu. And even on my iPhone, I've noticed that a lot of people don't know that if you press the lower volume button or the little button on the top when a phone is ringing, it actually just makes it quiet. So you just have to find that button and press it. You don't have to do anything else. But a lot of people don't know that, so they fumble with the screen.
Right, and that's its own micro interaction right there. It's another little piece of functionality. And it has, you know, what I call in the book, like, these invisible triggers, that it's something that you may never discover ever, you know. But how do you make that, like, a little bit more discoverable or at least learnable? How do you latch onto something like that? I mean, how did you find that out? Just by trial and error? Or was it something that you read, like, online, like someone mentioned, oh, you could do this?
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of these are what I've been calling socially transmitted functionality, right? You find out, it's like drag and drop, right? You find out about it. You're sitting there and you're watching somebody. I was watching somebody I was working with work in Keynote. We were working on a presentation together. And she just grabbed from the little color palette, she just grabbed the color and dragged it over to a word that was in the Keynote slide and dropped it. And suddenly the word changed to that color. I'm like, whoa, 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 what'd you just do? And we had this sort of sudden, like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you could do that thing.
Yeah, and there's all, you know, God, my phone is just chock full of those kinds of things, right? I mean, and there's, you know, and your operating system is full of all those little kinds of things. I mean, they're just everywhere. It's like, wait, I didn't know that. Yeah, socially transmitted is a funny way to put it, but yes.
I remember having, years and years ago, someone gave me one of these Casio watches that had like 16 different functions. It had a built-in thermometer and barometer and, you know, all these crazy things, but it only had four buttons. And you had to know the right magic sequence of buttons. And of course, none of the buttons were labeled. So, you know, there's a button on the top left, a button on the bottom left, a button on the top right, button on the bottom right. You had to find the right sequence to do anything. And so it was really overloaded in terms of its functionality. I'm going to guess that a lot of micro interactions live in the land of overloaded functionality.
Well, I think that's probably true. I mean, you know, as you were talking, I was remembering back like the little like strips that you would put on your computer keyboard so that you would remember, oh, this is what F9, you know, does. So all those kinds of crazy things.
And you know, that craziness still happens. I've been working in Google Docs, or as I like to call it, the land of never finding your document. And I noticed that they now have keyboard shortcuts for like bullets and numbers. But the keyboard shortcut is Command-Shift-7 for numbered lists, and for bullet lists is Command-Shift-8. I'm like, how the hell am I going to remember that? And so I have to move my mouse over the thing to get the tip, only to, you know, well, my mouse is already there. I might as well just click on it.
There you go. So,
but so let's go back to the buttons. So, but micro interactions isn't limited purely to just buttons, right? It's gestures and mouse movements, and it's even things that the device does on its own. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's two ways that any kind of micro interaction gets triggered. One is like a manual way where you are pushing a button or, you know, clicking on something or waving or a voice command or any of those kind of physical ways that you're doing things. And the other way is a more system kind of initiated trigger where a certain set of conditions are met. So when I get near my Nest thermostat, it has a proximity sensor and it turns on and shows me what the temperature is. Or, you know, some of the examples I give in the book are when you're reading on Instapaper on your phone and you start to tilt the phone, but then you jerk it back really fast because you don't want it to change the orientation of the text. It pops up this little thing that says, hey, you know, do you want to keep the rotation lock on there? And you're like, oh, sure. Yeah, I do want to do that because I'm, you know, reading on the subway or whatever it is. And it's just these really great little moments like, oh, I didn't have to go search through settings to go find that. It just intuited what I really needed at that moment. That set of conditions happened and it popped up the micro interaction that I could use right there. So I really love it.
So that's one that works well. The one that I find that's very amusing is every so often I'll look at my phone and it says, nothing to undo, cancel. And I guess on the iPhone, there's an undo function for typing, which is shaking your phone.
Uh-huh.
But nobody knows that, right? And so every so often my phone will shake, like I'll take it out of my pocket. And it will have gotten into that mode. And it will say, well, there's nothing to undo.
Well, and depending on what you're doing, I mean, like, you know, because shake can also be shuffle, right? I mean, that's another one. And I forget one of the new Google apps. It might be the new Gmail app. If you shake it really hard, it thinks that you're angry at it. And it brings up a thing that says, do you want to send feedback? So it's, you know, I think that's really funny. Like, you damn phone. And, you know, it pops up this little thing. So sometimes it depends like what app you're in or what mode you're in and what happens with, you know, what's the trigger in that particular thing.
In this day and age, anybody who's really doing any sort of app, whether it's desktop or mobile or even just building some content related stuff, there are micro interactions involved in that.
There are micro interactions involved in every product. The question is really just whether you're actually going to spend the time and care to make them the best that they can be. And, you know, in my opinion, like you're only as good as your worst micro interaction. Your product can live or die based on the micro interactions that you have with it. I mean, there's a lot of things that are completely undifferentiated. But if you have like some really nice micro interactions around it, that really makes all the difference in the world. An obvious example is just your operating systems. I mean, most operating systems are doing the exact same things, right? I mean, they're all, you know, you can launch applications, you can put things in a folder, you can do blah, blah, blah. How all those things work is all about people focusing on the micro interactions inside the operating system. And it's the same is true with your phones. I mean, both Android and iOS and Windows Phone, they all make calls, they all take texts, you know, but it's all about the micro interactions of the operating systems on those devices that really, you know, differentiate one from the other.
So if I'm developing, let's say, an online banking thing, I'm working on you know, paying bills and stuff like that. Do I have to worry about the micro interactions, or is that all taken care of by the operating system?
No. Let's start with the most basic micro interactions. So there are things like logging in, choosing password, even just what happens when you launch the app. What happens when you're pressing on off? How does it power up? What happens that first moment that it turns on? There's this great app, Waze, which is a navigation app. When I turn it on, it launches a micro interaction that says, oh, it's 6 o'clock. Are you going home now? You know, and this is the night when I leave my office and I turn it on. So it doesn't start from zero. It knows something about me. It knows something about my use of the app, and can offer me choices based on what I'm already doing. In this case, all I was doing was turning it on at a particular time, and it launched this little system trigger. Oh, it's 6 o'clock. You're at your office. You're probably going home. And I think those are the kinds of things that, no matter if you could be working on, you know, a financial services app, like when I launch this app, if every time I launch this app and I go to, you know, check my account and transfer money, well, maybe after a couple times, maybe that should be a default thing that pops up and says, hey, are you trying to do this? Is this something that you might be interested in doing? And it's really those kinds of like moments that's like, wow, somebody thought about me, thought about my needs, about what I was going to use this for and what I do use this for, that I think really makes like a lot of customer loyalty. It makes people just really love your product and really want to use it, even if they're doing something, you know, quote unquote boring, like, you know, financial services or that kind of thing. I mean, it makes people really appreciate your product because it feels designed. It feels like, wow, somebody cares about my needs and my use of this thing. So I think no matter what you're working on, paying attention to the micro interactions is always going to improve your product.
Yeah, I think that there's some things to that. So I recently signed up for the Starbucks app, and I got myself a Starbucks prepaid online card. So now I can go into the Starbucks and I can just hold up my phone, and it has a little barcode, and they scan it and they charge it against my card. And it's a fabulous way to basically pee through money. And the thing about it is that it has this neat interaction, but the first time it happened, it startled me a little, which is you can tell it which Starbucks are your sort of favorite Starbucks. And when you go near them, it just reminds you that you're there. But more importantly, so like I always get something at the airport before I get on the airplane. And so it reminds me that I'm at Terminal B at Logan Airport. And when I click on the reminder, and this is while my phone is off, right? So it gives me this reminder thing while the phone is in the dark state. And when I press on it, it then automatically brings up the gift card thing. I haven't logged in. I haven't had to put in my password. But I can actually, at that Starbucks, I can just scan my card without having to press 15 keys. That's really sweet.
Yeah, that's ingenious of them to get you so easily to spend money.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's Starbucks' number one superpower.
For sure.
Okay. I get this micro interactions thing. It feels to me like this is one of those things where our design processes aren't really very good at making sure we've got our bases covered here. And that when those types of things happen, like all these cool micro interactions we've talked about happen, it's almost accidental in the process, right? It's like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if? It doesn't feel to me like we have a good way of making sure that we are tracking all the micro interactions, and more importantly, that we are not putting in clumsy, awful micro interactions and not realizing it.
Right. I mean, when I started thinking about this and writing about it and doing the book and stuff, as I started to think about all the standard micro interactions there are, you know, turning things on and off and logging in, changing your password, adjusting a setting, all those kinds of things, I was like, oh my God, these are the things that we ignore until the very last minute. It's like, oh, right, we need a way for people to log in to get these things. And so, yeah, I think they are often really overlooked. In some cases, that's okay. I mean, in some cases, you can deal with a dull login screen, for instance. It may not kill you. But in some cases, it can be really detrimental. Like if I can't log in, it doesn't matter how great your feature is, I'll never get to it, right? I mean, we forget about what's kind of dismissively called, you know, product hygiene. People just expect it to be there. But I think that particularly when you actually take care and do and look at this stuff, and what I'm trying to do with the book is really give people a model to start looking at these particular things and saying, oh, you know, hey, this little piece of functionality has got these four parts. And maybe if I, you know, turn the dial on one of these pieces of it, I can make it a lot more interesting. So that was kind of what I was trying to do, is make a model so that, yeah, you can look at, you know, hey, there's this icon sitting at the top of my laptop and it's dull when I click on it and it pops up this little thing and it's just kind of sitting there and it's kind of blah. And that would be the first thing that people engage with every day with my app. Maybe there's something better that I can do with it. What is it that could make that more interesting, more valuable to the people who are using it? They are these things that, because they can be so easily overlooked, they often are. And a lot of people have talked to me like, how do I get time to do this? Because it does take some extra time. And one of the reasons that I wrote the book and tried to like say like, hey, all these things that you're doing, they're micro interactions, and we'll start calling them that name. Although people have been using the word micro interactions for many, many years. But now if you're able to say, hey, here's this thing that I want to spend a little bit of time on, and really they don't take that much time, then you improve your product. I mean, I was laughing. We were doing a project here at Smart Design a couple of weeks ago, and it's for like video calling, and there's a little privacy thing. So you could turn off the video part of your call and just have it be voice or have it be muted. And we came up with this little micro interaction that is, when you go private, a little shade pulls down over your little avatar picture of the video.
Oh, nice.
Right. You know, it took us a couple hours to come up with this thing. And, you know, we showed it to the client and literally it was like we had, you know, reinvented sliced bread. I mean, they loved it because it took something that, you know, you could have just grayed out or something like that. But just by making it a little bit more interesting, it became like, wow, this is something we could sell. This is something that our marketing team will like. This is something we call like, it's a signature moment for you. I mean, it's something that, you know, if you do these micro interactions really well, they can become like part of the brand. They just start becoming part of the product and people expect it to be there, like in future iterations of your product. Or if you take your product to another platform, they expect it to be there.
Oh, absolutely. The other day I was flying on Southwest Airlines and I got up to the front of the line and you can hear the tone that the scanner makes when they scan a boarding pass to check in someone. And it's the exact same tone that's in their commercials. They have apparently trademarked the tone that they use for checking in, and they now use it in their marketing, because when you're standing in line to get on the plane, you know, you hear it 60 times for all the passengers before you. So it becomes this thing, and it's very distinctive.
Yeah, I know. It's a complete, what they call ear cons. You know, it's a really great thing. There was just the article that came out this week about, you know, Facebook. The new Facebook sound is actually the notes F-A-C-E, like an F major seventh chord or something like that.
Oh, really?
So yeah, they're trying to make a little signature moment out of that little sound. And, you know, Facebook is the king of this. I mean, the like button is an amazing micro interaction that is such a signature moment for them. If they came out with a product that didn't have a like button, you'd think it was broken. You'd think, you know, like, what are they doing? Why did they get rid of the like button? And we're seeing this now with Microsoft with the start button. They launched the new Windows without the start button. And people were like, this isn't a Windows product. Where's the start button? Like, where's that thing that I turn to all the time?
Yeah, so just this week, they've put it back in.
Exactly. They're like, okay, we give up. You get the start button back.
Yeah, that's very funny that it's there.
One last one, which I like because I can tell the joke about it, is that, you know, I mean, you've got mail. I mean, that has lasted longer than AOL has lasted. I mean, that was such a signature moment for them that they made a movie out of it. You know, I mean, it's such the thing.
Yeah, the video conferencing thing that you mentioned reminded me, back in the day, I worked on one of the first PC video conferencing systems. And so we were doing usability testing on people, and most people had never ever used video conferencing before. They'd only ever seen it in like science fiction movies. And so it was really foreign to them. And we did all these prototypes. And in the prototypes, you would start the connection up and the person you were talking to would immediately appear and you'd immediately appear. And we found that this freaked people out, that they didn't like the idea that they were instantly broadcasting. And what it was that they needed a moment to sort of get ready. And the way we fixed it was, we had an intermediate state. So you would say, okay, I want a video conference. And the first thing it would do is it would put up a window with your picture in it so you could see yourself. And this was actually technically really hard to do because we were running these things on 386 processors. And so showing the video from my camera and then showing the other side was computationally difficult. We had to come up with a way of making sure that we didn't make it look clumsy because of the hardware constraints, but at the same time put this up. And we found that if we just for a few moments let them see themselves so they could sort of adjust their hair and make some comment about, oh, this is not a good day for me, and then connect to the other person, that was suddenly okay. It was interesting because we had modeled the whole connection after a phone call, but you don't preview your phone call, right? So we needed this new thing that had never existed before. Now, when you fire up FaceTime on, you know, an Apple device, for example, you get that. You get a moment while it's dialing of seeing yourself to adjust yourself. It's a little mirror of what's going to be transmitted. And then the other side connects and it's right there. That all started with the design we had, but this was like a new social convention that we had to put into what we thought was a pretty well-established social protocol of how you make a call to somebody. But we had to add this new thing because we needed this new micro-interaction.
Exactly. Yeah. And in the book, I make the case that, you know, the history of technology and the history of micro-interactions are all intertwined. Like, as technology changes, the micro-interactions around them have to adjust or improve or get enhanced based on the changing technology. I mean, if you look at like things that we think of as totally basic now, like the scroll bar, like how that has changed in the last, you know, 40 years from, you know, something that's super primitive that only could scroll like one line at a time to now, you know, scroll bars that disappear and that are super thin because they only appear in using your finger for them. Just stuff like that. You know, the micro interactions have totally changed as the technology has changed. So things like the video call is a great example. Like, you know, here's something that people are coming to it with different expectations because it's new technology. We're not aware of them until we start to play with them. So, and sometimes they need these kind of little micro interactions around them to help manage them and to help make us feel, you know, secure in how they work. Is a great one. I mean, it's checking your teeth or something before you, you know, go out on a date or something like that, where you're seeing someone for the first time or something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting that the technology sort of demands these little pieces of attention. And of course, anytime you sort of get like that, one of the cases where it's like really annoying is filling out one of those forms where it only wants to give you one error message at a time. So you press the button to do the thing and it says, oh, wait, you haven't put in your birth date. So you go and you put in your birth date and say, okay, is that done? And it says, oh, no, you haven't put in the security code. Well, okay, I'm going to put in the security code. Oh, no, you didn't do the captcha right. It's like, can't you just tell me everything up front? And each of those loops through the validation system, those error messages and stuff, that's a micro interaction and it's really annoying.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, any situation where you may encounter some kind of errors is almost always some kind of micro interaction. And figuring out like ways to either prevent that from happening. I talk a lot about the book about, you know, preventing human error or preventing the ways that for your system to be, you know, abused either accidentally or on purpose by users. I think those are important moments. And they're also, I mean, when things do get messed up is also a great time for your product to show a little bit of personality. Error messages and stuff are a great way to like convey like, hey, you know, we're human. Something bad happened. You know, let's figure out how to fix this together and let's be reasonable about this. So I think that errors in particular are really great places for micro interactions.
Yeah, and just doing clever things like saying, okay, so you didn't put in your birthday, so maybe in the error message box, I'll give you a way to put in the birthday. And we can just not make it feel like, oh, you were stupid, you filled out the form wrong, but hey, I just need one more thing. I need that birthday from you.
Exactly. Yeah. Why don't, instead of making you like, okay, now I have to go back and scroll through the entire form again, looking for that. What's the thing that I didn't do? What's the thing, you know, like, so it makes you feel like an idiot.
Yep. Yeah. This is really cool. So in the workshop that you're giving at UI18, you're going to go through the framework and you're going to help people sort of understand how they hone in on this stuff and really make sure that their applications and their designs have the right micro interactions, right?
So the framework's got four parts, and basically the workshop is divided up into four main chunks. So first thing we do is talk about the triggers, which we touched on here. How do you design, you know, manual and system triggers, trying to figure out what the user behavior is there that could cause triggers to happen. Then we go into the rules where we figure out, you know, what are the rules of the system? How do you play this micro interaction? And what are ways that we can make the rules so that errors don't happen or so that things are more streamlined and more efficient? And then in the afternoon, we talk about feedback. We get deep into everything from visual feedback and some animation, even some talk about writing, you know, microcopy. How do we write microcopy in a way that is really polished and really speaks human, so that human beings can actually respond to it? And then the last bit is all about the kind of loops and modes, which make up the kind of meta part of micro interactions. And then at the end of the day, we put everything together and design a couple of sample ones and make sure that everything that you've learned the entire day is all put together. And so that when you leave, you can immediately go back to your desk and think about the model and really just dig down and start polishing the micro interactions wherever you find them. And in doing so, really, you know, make your product something that's really interesting and that people love and not just tolerate.
That sounds fabulous. I'm really excited about the workshop. I can't wait to attend it. And so this has been great. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me about all this today. I'm really excited about this.
I'm super excited too. I think the workshop's going to be great, and I'm really excited about the topic. And I think it's something that people really can go and immediately start using. And I've had a lot of people be like, oh, now that I've heard about micro interactions, I can't stop seeing them everywhere. So,
yeah, it's just amazing. So everybody, you got to go out right now. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the Amazon and then type in micro interactions, all one word. It will present you in the search engine results the name of the book, Micro Interactions. You go there and then there's a button on the right. It says buy now. Go get that. Do that right now. And also check out the UI18 conference workshop that Dan is giving. You can find that at uiconf.com, because that's going to be really amazing. Dan, thanks again for taking the time to do this.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad we had this macro interaction.
Yes, it was pretty awesome. And I want to thank the audience again for spending the time. Please go to the iTunes and let us know what you think of these podcasts, if you like them, if you don't. We love the reviews. We love to hear from you. And of course, thank you again for encouraging our behavior, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
For more information, visit uiconf.com. That's uiconf.com. As always, thank you for listening.